Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block! Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Tuesday! Play the song, Judas!
The countdown is on. The playing games start tonight. NBA playoffs upon us.
Man, I cannot wait for Saturday, man. I was funny because I was teasing Jamie about Saturday night, and he's got dinner reservations with his wife. I'm like, first game of the playoffs, man.
I got to cancel that. Yo, Al, I'm sorry, man. I'll make it up to you. We go another night. But I can't.
It's the first game of the. This is the most meaningful game now. Listen, great scheme of things. Whoever they play, they're probably going to drill. And, you know, it's the first game. And you're going to cruise through the first round. So, like, I kind of understand big picture. But this will begin the first game that matters in forever, really, since the Eagles season went sideways. And that was really at the beginning. This is the first game that truly matters. And if you think about it, like, it's the most important kind of run because last year, the bubble was done. Like, we knew the bubble, they had no chance. There was no Simmons. It was Joel himself. So that was it. We didn't expect anything. So they get drubbed out of the playoffs. That was not a surprise. So now you got to go back until Kawhi. Really? It's the first kind of game like that. And remember, because the Eagles go sideways, you had the playoff game with Wentz where he gets hurt against Seattle, where he gets put to sleep in a horrible way by Clowney. But, you know, we're talking a matter of a few years where we only have had a handful of games where, like, something's on the line. There's something on the line to this team. And I keep thinking about it, and I go, I'm enamored with the prospects that this team could win it. I mean, they can win it. They can actually win the title. And I'm starting to, like, not be able to sleep. Right, in anticipation. I can't tell you the last time I felt this anticipation. I mean, probably this sort of anticipation was probably game 7 against Toronto. And, you know, the Eagles, man, that week leading up to the Super Bowl was a tough week to sleep. Right, like that was a tough, you couldn't wait for the game. I love the anticipation of it. Right, and this is like the beginning of the journey. The entire journey begins now. And they're positioned greatly. So I want it today, I want your honest, I want you to, yay or nay, but this is not about super fanboys, none of this stuff. If you tell me, I don't see an ant. They're going to lose to Brooklyn. All right. I'm not going to, you know, doesn't make you less of a fan, any of that nonsense. This isn't Pollyanna. I want your honest to goodness vibe here, right? Like when you look at it from a basketball standpoint, how far can this team go? Can they win it all in your eyes? Give me the outlook and how you view these playoffs. See, I think it's Sixers and Clippers. And again, I know the Doc thinks it makes it feel too neat to have Sixers and Clippers. But I look at, first of all, I look at Brooklyn, and I just don't think those three can sustain an entire playoffs with their mindset. Their town is above board, right? I cannot say anything about the Nets' talent. Those three are amazing players. But we all know Kyrie setting everybody up, right? For, whatever. I'm worried about the Gaza Strip. I mean, he's telling you that. Now, I don't think it's a ruse. I don't think, like, well, you know, because when you're on the floor, you're on the floor. His head's not in it. His head's never in it. His head's in the clouds. Things have come easy to him. He came in. Listen, he's a great player. But he's a gifted player, and he relies on his gifts. He doesn't play D. He's a horrible defensive player. And defense is all about effort, right? So that should tell you something. He comes in the league, he wins right away because of LeBron. Right? He goes to Boston. He's an abject failure. So, I don't know. Where's his head at? Harden, listen, obviously nobody stats up like he and Westbrook. The two of them are, you know, the greatest stat players ever. Or another man's vernacular, stat whores ever. Stat whore. Stat whore. But, dynamic player. Right? Dynamic. There is a thing about Harden when it comes to winning. All right? That's real. He hasn't done it. Not saying he can't, not saying, but he hasn't done it. And he shrunk in big spots.
Four. You understand? Four.
Thank you, brother. And he shrunk in big spots. Now, what does that mean? That should mean, and he is how this team goes. Then you got KD, who's a flat-out star, right? Who's a great player. He, you know, he'll walk off. He can come off the sick bed and drop 30 any day of the week. He's just a great, great player. A great, great scorer. One of the great all-time scorers of the game. However, I still don't think you snap your fingers and the three of them are suddenly cohesive. And then they also have other issues, which is all their supporting cast. They're all offensive players. They're all shooters. There's no defensive players on that team. They're out of whack, out of balance. So I had this debate yesterday with Brad Feinberg, our betting analyst, and because he loves Brooklyn. I'm going, dude, you're blinded by the stats and the math. I think the intangibles tell the truth. Now, I could be flat out wrong, and the three of them could shove it up my rear end and come out and win a championship. I'm saying no. I'm taking a stand. No. Too many. There's only one basketball and too many whores.
Whore.
All right?
I understand. Whore.
I mean, not to be graphic, but, you know, that's a house of ill repute. All right? You want to talk about a hoe house. All right? That's what Brooklyn is. And in fact, I'm serious. I think Milwaukee gets them. I think Milwaukee bites their ass. Now, we'll see. So, then I look out west, and something about I don't trust. I just don't trust Utah. I think Phoenix is young, although I love Chris Paul. And I still have that Kawhi. He's a robot. He's so great. He and PP, even though it's the playoffs, I just think they're dangerous. And I think they get out of it, and I just think it's Sixers Clippers. And I think it's the revenge against Kawhi, and we're on Broad Street. All right, that's how I'm sussing it. Andrew, what say you? How you sussing it?
I think the Sixers are making the trip to the finals. I and that's not just gut. I mean, that's also when we break it down. I really do. Listen, if they lose in seven to Milwaukee or Brooklyn, all right, so be it. It's not going to be a walk in the park. The first two rounds should be a walk in the park for the Sixers. I keep on saying it, no more than 10 games to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then when you get to that round three, it could probably get a little difficult. I'm sure we've done this exercise before where we give Brooklyn two games to light it up and score 140 points, and they just shoot the lights out. So that's two wins for Brooklyn. Then there's the two nights where they can't hit water, so your series is tied at two, right? And then they have to win a couple games in Philadelphia. That's going to be a tough thing to do, especially it's 50% right now capacity, but it could jump up to 100% soon at the Wells Fargo Center. All of a sudden, that building's going to be rocking. And you mean Brooklyn's going to have to come in here with a packed Wells Fargo Center filled with crazy Sixers fans who are seeing a team in the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 01? I mean, that place is going to be rocking.
Rocking.
Yeah, so I'm with you with the Milwaukee thing. You and I have kind of had this, not fear the deer, but this slight fear of the deer that maybe it's the year where...
It's the year of the deer.
Everything comes right together, and they've been the team to beat the last couple of years, and it hasn't happened, right? They've been the team to beat more so than the Sixers. I know we all got excited Sixers, Raptors 2 years ago, but yeah, let's face it.
They weren't ready yet, right?
No, and that was still Milwaukee's year, right? That was Milwaukee's year. That was 2 years ago. Last year was their year. Giannis gets hurt in the playoffs, so... I could see where there's a tough series with one of those two teams. And if the Sixers lose in seven, all right, S happens, and that sucks. But other than that, for the Sixers to lose, it has to be in seven. I can't see them losing in five, right? Could you see them getting swept or losing in five games in the Eastern Conference Finals?
No, and here's the scary thing. And you said this yesterday, and I think you're dead right, but I don't... The first two rounds of the playoffs, I don't see them losing more than two, three games.
No. I mean, whoever they get in round one, right? So let's say they get Boston. Okay, so they get Tatum, and that's it. Because, you know, Kemba Walker's...
Stinks.
He stinks. Jaylen Brown's hurt. I got no big man.
How many times I talk about Kemba Walker?
Yeah, because you also heard how many times did people say...
I went Kemba. Forget Ben. I went Kemba. Kemba stinks.
And Bede should average 35 in that series. And the only reason why it's only 35 is because they'll be blowing him out, and he's going to be sitting the fourth quarter. There's nobody on Boston can stop him.
Unguardable.
And then, you know, the Hornets, let's not even waste time, right? And then I guess the Pacers could give you a tough fight for one or two games where maybe you lose one game.
Well, I could see that. I could see the Pacers winning a game.
A game.
Because they are, for some reason... They're a thorn in the Sixers' side.
They are. They have been for the last couple of seasons. And you and I have talked about it. We look at that team, we go, how are they this bad?
I know.
Like, that was a team that I expected to be middle of the pack.
So did I.
In the Eastern Conference. I know they've dealt with injuries all year, but...
Sabonis.
They also fired their coach, right, which was weird. McMillan. I don't know why they got rid of him. I mean, each year he was the coach, they moved up. So maybe that messed some guys up in the locker room. I don't know. And then you get to round two... Yeah, the Knicks could give you a tough series in terms of games are tough, but I don't see that going deeper than five games, do you?
Nope.
And then the Hawks, yeah, there's the game where Trae Young goes off.
Right.
And that's it. Like, their path to the Eastern Conference Finals should be stress-free for us all. It really should be.
It's an open lane highway, Holmes. To use that analogy again, it's, you know, it's 95, middle of the night, no construction.
Right, exactly. I mean, this team, nice, easy road. And that's why I have supreme confidence. And the reason why I say they go to the finals is once they get to the Eastern Conference Finals, whoever they face, Brooklyn or Milwaukee, one of those two teams fought each other.
Had to go through each other. That's right.
Right. And it goes, that series should go six or seven. Do you see any of those two teams winning in four or five?
Nope.
That's what I'm saying.
No, because here's the thing about Brooklyn. They're guaranteed two games. In any series.
Okay, yeah.
But I also think they're guaranteed to lose two games in any series. I think they're going to have there'll be two games in a seven-game series where they just shoot the lights out. and they put up 140.
Right.
And then there's two games where they're not shooting well, and then they get dropped. And then it comes down to those other three games.
Yeah, that makes sense. It does. And now when one of those two teams moves on, yeah, they got beat up from that previous series. And now the Sixers have been waiting because they won in four, they won in five in round two. I feel great about this team. I feel great. Yeah, I was listening to the station yesterday. I was listening to Mike. And, you know, I heard a couple callers talking about playoff rotations and who should do this, who should do that. I'm not even worried about playoff rotations right now.
No?
Are you? No, like.
Why were you? No, it is your
starting five. Well, yeah, like I've been thinking about it, but I got my starting five and that's about it. Like, I got my Dwight Howards. I got George Hill. That's 6 and 7.
Thibel's 8.
And Thibel. Yeah. And then, okay, you need a couple threes in a pinch. Korkmaz. Like, there's all this Maxey love all of a sudden because he had one good game the other night.
Nah, listen, it's not Maxey's time.
No.
I mean, and you guys, everybody should know that. The playoffs is...
I didn't even mention Shake.
For the men. Yeah, listen. Korkmaz and Milton are, to me, those guys are alternate. Like, I alternate with those guys. Like, if I need offense...
Quick scoring punch.
Listen, could I see Korkmaz against the Nets could be a... Could actually play a role.
Yeah, no defense.
Second
open
unit.
Threes, yeah.
I mean, he actually fits. Now against the Clippers, he'll be useless. But
against the Knicks, he'll most likely be useless.
But against the Nets, there's a place for him. Against the Hawks, there's a place for him. Against Charlotte, there's a place for him. Same thing with Milton. Like, there'll be a spot where I go ahead, Shakey Shake. Go get me, you know, go get me three buckets.
Right.
In
your four or five minutes. Right. That's the thing. These starters, and I think people, I don't know if it's been a while that we've been like really diving deep into playoff rotations. Embiid should be playing close to 40 minutes in a game that's tight, that is. Yeah, listen, if they're up big against the Charlotte Hornets, he's not going to be playing more than 30, I would hope.
Yeah.
But other than that, these guys can be on the court for majority of the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
So don't worry. Like, I'm not trying to bash Tyrese Maxey. I'm just saying don't worry about Tyrese Maxey. Because when Ben's off the court for 8 minutes, it's most likely going to be George Hill or Shake Milton that are playing sporadically with those 8 minutes that he's off the court.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly right. See, this is how this team is built. This team is actually built, they're sturdy. They're going to play defense and all right away. All the in 2 seconds, I talk about because everybody wanted Kemba. And I go, look at him now. What's he do for that Boston team? Does nothing. Well, he's a scorer. He's a scorer. What's he do? What's he do now? He's too small. Like, there was not a fit here.
Yeah. Are they in the play-in tournament or are they a top seed? They're playing tonight.
I swear to God, like, you got people out there that are just blinded solely by scoring. And they look at box scores, bad teams. Like, listen, like, Kemba's a nice little player.
It is what he is.
But people looked at him on a bad Charlotte team and went, look, see, he can score. He's too small, dude. He was too small then. He's too small. You're not going to win. Not going to win titles with Kemba Walker. Because I'm more bought into the play-in. I'd be honest with you.
You are?
I am. You don't like it, do you?
No, because whoever the Sixers face are out in four. The Western Conference play-in I'm fascinated by.
Well, you get the Lakers.
Yeah. But they also could have just been the seventh seed to begin with. You know what I mean? Like, what's it really going to change? I'm kind of out. I'll be honest. I'm going to watch when I get home. I'm going to the Phils game tonight. I'm going to watch when I'm home.
Oh, you get the Phils tonight?
Yeah, man. I got Wheeler on the ball.
Oh, Phils face, baby.
I got the ace on the mound.
He is the ace. They don't need to whisper that. Zach is the ace. Nah, like last night, it finally feels like spring to me. You know why? Because the playoffs are here. I watched Cats And Bruins
last night.
How about
another OT?
That was awesome.
This is a great series.
I was watching. I was locked in. Toots and I were watching that. And then, and I tell you, I got my oops. All right, here's the deal. I want you guys to look an, honest appraisal. Like, this isn't, like, debate time, whatever. I just want to see how you see it. If you think they're out in the second round to the Knicks, then say it. Just give me a reason why. If you think they're going to the title and we're going to be on Broad Street, say it. Give me the path. Let's analyze. This is the fun of it. Looking forward to it and analyzing it. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. Cuz Radio with Tunis. We're just getting started on a Tuesday.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Joining us now, oh, he's the man. We'll get his outlook on the playoffs. We'll get ready. We'll be watching a lot of this man from NBC Sports Philly on the Comcast Business Hotline. Bounce forward, the great Jimmy Lynam. Jimmy!
What's up, fellas?
What are you doing, buddy?
Hanging in there, enjoying this weather.
First of all, I love the green suit.
The green suit, okay. I'm gonna.
You got to keep that going, man. Playoffs, beard. I need it all.
Well, there's some good karma going on right now, so yeah, let's stay with it.
You got the one seed. You got the one seed from it. So we
stay
need
with the program.
That's right, brother. That's right. Plus, I remember Mrs. Lynam likes the beard.
She does.
Yeah. So
as do my grandkids.
That's awesome. I That's the great. You're the best, man. You really are. You're the greatest. So I'm excited. You're excited. You said this a long time ago. I'll never forget. And I have quoted you often. You said that they were the team to beat. I remember you saying that around Christmas and again in January, February, that the Sixers were the team to beat in the East. And you were proven correct as at the one seed. Now, give me the outlook as we head into the play-in and then the playoffs.
Well, I think the first thing, Anthony, is that I think they're healthy. That's not been the case in a lot of these recent years. And I think if you look around the league at some of the leading contenders, Brooklyn being one, I'm not sure you can make that same statement. Maybe they're healthy. Maybe they'll get healthy. Same thing out west with the Lakers. So I think that would be my first thought. This team obviously has played at a really high level. They had the best record in the Eastern Conference. And I think they're ready to go.
Yeah, I do too. I think. What are your... Let's look at advantages. When you look at how the big man has been dominant and... how things may change in the playoffs, where they're going to try to really, you'll see a lot more, double, a lot more, swarming Joe. How do you think the Sixers are prepared to deal with that?
Well, I think if you just look at the regular season play, you can see how they're prepared. Teams tried to do all kinds of things with Joe, but not too successfully. And, it's funny, I looked the other day, and I would have forgotten how dominant Joe was. Granted, they got swept by Boston last year. No Ben Simmons in the bubble, all the above. But the fact is, Embiid averaged 30 points a game, 12 rebounds. And you ready? He shot 14 free throws a game.
Yeah.
So it's not like whatever Boston scheme was to guard Joe.
Yeah.
It didn't seem to slow him down much.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but the first two rounds, I don't see them losing more than three games combined.
Well, you know, remains to be seen. I just think I like where they are. I think they've had a terrific regular season without question. I think we can say this was Embiid's most productive NBA season, and I think he was the most dominant player in the league over the course of the entire. And that doesn't forget MVP.
I know, I agree. With you.
That's another topic.
Yeah.
But most dominating player in the league, I'll stick with that.
Yeah, MVP. So I agree.
I think that's a good spot that they're in.
All right, you're going to get, I think, a lock out of Tobias. He's in the right role. He's in the right spot. He's going to give you his, you know, 22, 24, somewhere along that. He's going to play good ball for you. And then, of course, there's the Ben issue, which always crops up. And I do the same thing, which is I think he gives you great defense. He's going to distribute the ball. He's such a facilitator, do his thing. And I just think, look, in the end, if he can just get to the rim and get you 15, that should suffice.
Yeah, I think you just summed those last couple sentences, particularly in the latter stages of the game, you know, back the fourth quarter. Keep trying to get to the rim, whether that's open court, whether it's half court. You don't want Ben being a spectator late in games, you know, just hanging around. And I think he will. I think he'll be raring to go, having missed the playoffs last year because of injury. And I think that, you have to give Daryl Morey, starting with him, his group of guys, and Doc, because the coach of his caliber certainly has input. You know, they've made some terrific moves. This team is, it's not the same team as last year. This team is much, the pieces fit for me much, much better. They're at least a good, maybe better than good, 3-point shooting team. So that teams that are going to try to do crazy things against Joel, they're going to pay a price.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, you know, teams, the one thing they're going to try to do is what Miami did the other night, and they're going to try to, you know, fall back into that zone, and they're going to try to screw them up that way. But I think that's where George Hill comes in and calms things down.
Yeah, George Hill was another example of adding a terrific piece of the puzzle, if you will, that just fits. He's an experienced guy. He has a lot of poise. The stage is not going to be too big, and he makes open shots. And, you know, Danny Green makes open shots. Curry, you know, tremendous 3-point shooter. So, you know, this team is, they've got a lot of interesting pieces. And I think you've heard Doc say in these recent weeks, you know, he's not going to be reluctant to use these guys. I would use Tyrese Maxey as an example. He's had a really good stretch over these past 10, 15 games. And I think he's thrust himself into the conversation. I do not think if the occasion calls for it, you know, you need a little change of pace. You don't like what's going on out there. I would not be at all surprised that Doc puts Maxey in the game.
So, obviously, we know Brooklyn. How do you assess Milwaukee right now as far as the chief challengers in the East?
Well, you know, they're certainly one of them, but first round series, Milwaukee versus Miami. So one contender who could be problematic is out of there on the spot. And in all probability, either Milwaukee or Brooklyn is out of there in the second round. So the Sixers only are going to face one of those three teams.
Right, and I'm just curious what you think of Milwaukee going into the playoffs.
Oh yeah, well I think of Milwaukee like I thought of them the last 2 years, but obviously they didn't get it done. Giannis has not been the same player in the playoffs as he is in the regular season. You know, when you're playing the same team, a possibility of 7 straight times over the course of 2 weeks. You know, teams that they scheme and they, you know, you might go off a player of Giannis's caliber. He might go off for 40 to 50, you know, one game. But guess what? You got to do the same thing again 2 nights later. Well, the other guy's going to, he's going to change it up somehow. And Giannis is not, at this point in time, he's not really answered the bell in terms of playing his best in the playoffs on a level that he has in the regular season.
Yeah. No, it's funny. I'm just curious. They started to play better down the stretch. I thought Drew Holiday had a really good second half. He kind of fit in better with them in the second half.
And, well, he's a tremendous addition. There's no doubt about that. You know, for me, Holiday, forget just his numbers. He's a solid guy. He's just a terrific all-around player. He's a leader, and he's a great addition. So, you know, he makes them a bigger threat, in my opinion.
So, real quick, just before we let you go, Jim, Jay Wright, HOF. I mean,
yeah, kudos to Jay
Wright.
Isn't
that awesome?
Obviously, you know, very, very well deserved. Two NCAA titles. You know, as I said the other night on the show when we were talking about it, that, you know, Villanova's been a terrific program for a long time. Rest his soul, Rolly Massimino won a championship. But Jay Wright has taken that program to me to another level. I mean, they are consistently a top 10 program. And he's done it the right way. He's just a Jay Wright is a tremendous teacher, and he's a class act start to finish.
Beautiful. It's you know what it is, Jim. Too, like I'm so proud of, and we've talked about this before, but at some point we should do a deep dive into it. But the relationship between that round ball and this soil in this region, because it spans the whole region. It spans, you know, race and ethnicity and religion, and that round ball means something in this town.
Well, I'd be right with you that it's been a very unifying thing over the years. I saw a headline the other day that this Sixers team has a feel of the 2001 group. And I mean, for some, you know, 20 years later, people are still feeling something, you know, from like that. It's like a history lesson. But to your point, that's how deep these feelings are with a lot of people with respect to their Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, and I'm just talking about the sport itself too. Like, you know, and you're a big part of that, Jim. You know that you're a big part of it. By the way, the NBA just released it. Game one Sunday. So game one is on Sunday. Well, we don't know the time yet.
Eastern Conference game one Sunday.
Sixers will play on Sunday, yes.
How about it? Okay. That surprised me a little bit. But
I thought Saturday night, but, you know, looks like Sunday.
So, very good. You're right on top of it, buddy.
I love you, bud. You're the man. You know that. I love
It'll
you.
It'll be exciting. Let's get it going.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to be bugging you a lot every week. So, all right. I got to drag you from the course.
I'll be around.
Hi, right, buddy. Thanks, Jim. The great right, Jimmy Lynam on the Comcast Business Hotline. He is phenomenal. I love Jimmy.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
It's 12 o'clock across the Delaware Valley. Happy lunchtime. Lunchtime with Cousin Chunis. I was watching it, Bruins and Caps last night, Andrew. Dude, I missed the Flyers. Last night, I was like, wow, I really missed the Flyers.
Yeah.
Like, I actually had that. I love playoff hockey. It was, like, Preds were on. It was all over last night. Boosh was doing a game. I think he was doing the Bruins, Caps.
I'm trying to figure out how to say this without it coming off, like, weird.
Uh-huh.
They don't deserve my miss right now. Like, obviously, I miss Flyers playoff hockey, and I miss last year's excitement. they disappointed me so much this year that, like, they don't even deserve, like, me watching another two teams and going, oh, Flyers. They don't deserve it right now. I have full attention on the Sixers right now.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean,
like, I don't even have a feeling. Like, I hear that name and I go,
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm less angry. I'm just more, like, disappointed.
Yeah, I'm kind of disgusted, to be honest.
Yeah.
They really bothered me this year.
Yeah, they should. They were horrible. I mean, they were embarrassment, really.
Yeah.
That whole defensive core was... ugh.
Right. Like, don't get me wrong. I miss Flyers playoff hockey. But, like, I'm not getting that kind of reaction right now.
My only point is I had the game on last night. Like, Tooch and I are watching Caps Bruins.
Nice game again.
And you know, it's white knuckle.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Playoff hockey overtime, right? And then right from there, I was watching, what was it? It was Binnington. It was the Blues against the Lanch, right? I mean, like, you were like, wow. But it was the same.
Right.
Right? Like, it's like, I can watch it. But there's just so much I'm going, you know.
There was a video went viral.
There's no white knuckle Flyers.
Right. A video went viral yesterday from somebody who covers the Carolina Hurricanes. And yes. She posted the scene.
It was Carolina Nashville.
And it was the full arena. The full barn.
Yeah,
ready for
man.
A playoff game. I was like, damn, that looks awesome.
I know. Well, that's my point. What I wanted was Sixers. You know, Monday, Flyers, Tuesday, Sixers,
right.
Wednesday, Flyers, Thursday.
Yeah, that's what it should be.
I was looking forward to like,
that's what it should be right now.
Like losing my mind. I want to lose my mind. Let's go back to the phones. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Hello, Mike.
Hey, can you hear me? I've been waiting, man.
What's up?
Dude, I feel you. So let me like gather things. I've been waiting for like an hour and a half.
No, you haven't, but that's okay.
You see your kids playing the basketball, and you get the thing, like, you see one or two kids, like, they get it.
Like, yes, yes, yes.
I didn't.
So you coach baskets, Mike?
Yeah, I'm 37, and for my senior project, that was my senior project to coach some young kids. Like,
oh, that's beautiful, dude.
And we made it to the finals, and there's these one or two kids.
Oh, I love that.
You just know that they are, you know, the ones that can get it.
Well, right. Like, when you see the light, it's what we're talking about is that light that goes off in a kid's face. Right? You see it when the light goes off and they accomplish something, right?
And like, actually have the talent to do it, you know?
Like, yeah.
They're above and beyond. So I got a couple more.
Yeah, go for it, buddy. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
The Ring the Bell.
Yes.
Everybody's going to say AI or Mike Schmidt, you know, the obvious. I came up with Little Dicky or the cast of Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, yeah, right. Sure. I like it.
You know?
I like it, yeah.
They brought Ron Howard and Chase Utley into their show.
Yeah, they brought Ryan Howard and Utley, yep. Yeah, I agree.
Do not know?
I love Mac.
So I figured go out, you know, everybody's going to say the obvious.
Yeah, no, I like it. I'm enjoying that. I like that. Good thoughts. What's the last thing you got?
I bleed red, blue, green, and orange. But also, I'm a bandwagger, and only for the Flyers.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I played world hockey. I didn't play real hockey, but I only take to them if they're in the playoffs.
I get that. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, man. I mean, you know, I was just talking about watching the other teams. I missed them. That was it. By the way, the Eagles traded a sixth-round pick for Josiah Scott. Josiah Scott.
Yeah, he was the...
He's a cornerback.
Yeah, he was their fourth-round pick last year.
So they traded him for Jameson Houston. The Eagles trade a sixth-round pick and Jameson Houston for Josiah Scott.
I'm sure it's a scheme fit.
Yes.
That would make the most sense.
Yeah.
It's not like he took the world by storm.
No.
In 1 year. So no. Scheme fit for the Gannon.
And trying to get a corner and see what he's got. They need corners.
So. Oh, my God. They do. Yeah.
So, I mean, there you have it.
So, to the bell ringer. So, you know, he just brought up everyone's going to give the obvious. Here's the thing. Some of the obvious will be the best ones. Right? Like, AI is an obvious answer.
Well, AI would be great, but
yeah.
But here's the thing. No to Sly. I don't need Stallone.
I agree with you.
I mean,
we tried this before.
Yeah, I'm out on that.
We tried this before and it didn't.
No to Stallone. I have no interest in that.
I mean, I don't know if. So he said Mike Schmidt. I don't know if I'd go Schmitty.
I don't think you would, no.
Now, somebody tweeted.
Bryce Harper?
See, Harper. Yes, but somebody tweeted, and I want to give the guy his proper credit. He actually gave a list of 10, but there was a specific name on there. Here it is, Ken Ball. He gave us 10, but there's one specific one that the place would go crazy.
Of the 10?
Foles.
Yes.
Could you imagine?
Yes, that's a one seat.
If Foles walks in there.
How's everyone doing?
That's the finals.
To ring the bell.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I mean.
I agree.
The place.
No, I agree.
You want to talk about the roof blowing off.
So let's go all time, right? So the all timers are Hinkie, Foles. I agree.
Iverson should still be up there. Yeah, as soon as he cuffs his ear.
No, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I would also say, see, I don't know. I hope the new generation
Doc.
Would get it. Or Andrew. You know, the problem is I don't know that Andrew resonates with your age, right?
Right. I think Andrew Tony
He's a bit obscure for the, you know.
If you did it for the six, if there was a Sixers Celtics series round one. He should do that before the finals. Historically, based off of team history, right. He should do the finals. But you're right. Based off of the crowd, I mean, you'll have more than half of the people know who that is.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Not many 20-year-olds are getting playoff
tickets.
I'll
be honest with you. 22 ringing the bell, I'm like in tears.
Yes.
But.
Let's face it, many 20-year-olds are buying tickets to a playoff. They're expensive, right? So.
Right.
You might have an audience there that does go nuts for Andrew Toney.
I hope, but I don't know.
Especially because he's, you know, nobody has really heard from him.
Barkley's a must.
Barkley's, yeah, he's
has to.
Ken Ball also, I give him extra credit for his tweet when he says, I would say Scott Kingery, but I'm afraid he'd miss.
Oh, man. Dude, did you see, VG pointed this out to me. His slugging percentage, I got to go back and look at it. All 053. It was.
Yeah, so what? He must have a single, and that's it.
Dude, okay, here you go. His average, his on base, and his slugging are all 0.053.
Yeah, so he has probably one hit, and it's a single.
Right.
Yeah, that's awful. And his strikeout percentage per at-bat is over 50%.
Yeah, it's tough.
53% to be exact. So over 50% of his at-bats in the major leagues this year has resulted in a K.
Oh, I also, dude, we thanks to Gabriel for this one. Dude, Joe Bryant, Jelly Bean.
Yeah, a couple people tweeted that in. That's a good one.
Oh, you're underwhelmed? Jelly Bean?
No,
you're not. I expect Jelly Bean.
Yeah, but the four names that we've had before: Hinkie, Iverson,
Foles,
and then I mean, Andrew Toney or Dr. J won titles, and they're historic Sixers players.
Well, I mean, but Joe Bryant. I mean, what he represents. First of all,
right?
Jelly
I know
Bean,
father Kobe Bryant. Yeah,
Jelly Bean. I mean, no, he does.
I could see him ringing the bell one night.
Wow.
I don't know if he's home game finals.
Wow.
in terms of what you'll get crowd, like that would be delayed reaction.
Dude, I'll give you another one. Pat.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Pat should ring the bell.
Yes. And they should show the video of him walking up.
That'd be awesome. I'd love to see.
Before they even do that.
I'd love to see Pat ring the bell.
That'd be fantastic. I would love that.
You know, if he does the whole thing, yeah. I feel great.
Now, a lot of people tweeting in the coach of the 0-1 squad.
I'm an LB fan, so, you know. But interesting, you go LB, no BB.
Correct.
I got to go B Brown over Al Brown.
It's removed. It's 20 years removed.
Years removed.
It's removed. I can't go. Really, he got fired.
He's a process.
6 days ago.
He's a process coach.
Yeah, but he doesn't have the same cult following as Hinkie.
Stop. I know he doesn't. What? Listen, I'm not telling you he's not Hinkie. Hinkie's number one. I agree.
I can't go double B right now.
I can't go
Ballmer.
Come on, give the Ballmer some love.
Nah, I don't want to nurture him right now. Nah. You can stay in Maine
Phillip,
for now.
You're on 97.5 for that. I got a little Phillip.
Good. How you doing there, man?
What's up? Hey, philosophical.
What's up, man?
How you been, buddy?
Another day in paradise. And I call some other shows every once in a while, but I haven't. Well, anyway, let me get to the point, right?
Well, I miss you anyway. I hope you're well.
Thank you, man. I know you're well, and I'm happy to hear about your sons and all the good things that they're doing and...
Thank you, brother. We go back a long time, you and I.
Long ways. So far that when you say philosophical, people don't even know what that means. people don't even know what that means.
So I just to tell the audience, Philip, yeah. I used to call him philosophical because he was always great. When I was at the other station, we'd have these long, really interesting conversations, and he would always go very deep. He's a deep guy. I always loved talking philosophical.
We go way back. But anyway, now you just mentioned two guys, not on who I called about. You mentioned Jelly Bean Bryant.
Yes.
That will be excellent because here's the reason why. Because him ringing the bell, it'll be more than just him. It'll be like he's standing there for his son.
Yes.
It'll be like he's standing there. It's like him and his son is ringing the bell, and everybody should know who his son is.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So it's like he's ringing a bell for both. It'll be multi-meaningful. Also, you mentioned Andrew Toney.
Yes.
And whether these young folks will understand. Bleep these young folks. Who gives a damn whether they understand or not?
All right.
It ain't about them. Because for these young folks, if it didn't happen yesterday, it never happened.
All right.
Anyway. but anyway, I called about Hinkie and Brett Brown.
Yes.
Is that if Hinkie was to do it, right, they should announce that before, because I would definitely buy a ticket, and I would actually tear the hell up, man.
Yes.
I would tear up. I would get verklempt. Because, like, yo, you did this, man.
Yes.
And this is why I wouldn't be in favor of Larry Brown being there. Because Larry Brown bashed it. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
At least,
you're right, philosophical. You're right.
You
know what I'm saying? No LB. And, BB. Yeah. No LB.
Because Hinkie, for some people out there who don't understand, you may understand Marvel. Hinkie is our Kevin Feige. But
yes.
They got rid of him in phase two. Kevin Feige is the guy who's in charge of the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. He's the guy who did that.
Feige!
Who?
Yeah, he's our Kevin Feige.
What the
Marvel Universe is right now, nobody had ever did that before. Hinkie is, and don't say who again, please. but also last one is Brett Brown, man. I would definitely want him to do it. And it's like, and I was in favor of him going.
Right.
I was in favor of him being fired. But, yo, Brett Brown is a day one.
Yes.
For those who don't know what day ones are, Brett Brown, even though I was in favor of you going, he got to know that all this wasn't personal. We still love you, man. You helped us. You was a day one.
Thank you.
You was a first-time sufferer.
He was.
But he deserved it.
He does deserve it. He was a sufferer.
I need to grow a bummer.
Yeah, I love you, man.
See, even though we disagree with how it ended, but listen, you were a day one, man. A day one.
Pay attention, Tunis. Pay attention. Pay attention to this man. I love you, philosophical.
Love you, I love you. I love you too, brother. I love you.
Be safe, man. All right.
All right. Take care.
All right, man. He's right. And he made what an eloquent argument in favor of Brett.
Yeah, I'll out next year when they win.
He was a sufferer.
When they get to the finals back-to-back years.
You heartless, cold
next year.
Bastard, you.
He can come next year.
Come on, give Brett some love. He was a sufferer. Seriously.
I know, that's why I'm not saying so he can never do it.
How could you not?
You can't do it.
Yes,
he was fired yesterday.
Who cares? It wasn't yesterday. Who cares?
He's still on the damn payroll.
Was a day one guy.
He's still getting paid by the damn team.
So good. So this way when he rings the bell, he's getting paid to ring the bell.
No.
Get the guy a little good respect. Natalie?
What did I just walk into?
Dally, just tell him Brett Brown deserves to ring the bell.
No!
Why?
It's too early!
No.
He just got fired!
No! It wasn't bad. I mean, everybody knew it was coming. It wasn't
exactly.
Bad.
Everybody knew it. It should have came 3 years ago.
No. You have to see it through. You got to see things through in life.
Dude, what do you got against Brett?
Dude, he wasn't that great of a head coach.
I like to ring the bell.
Listen,
how is my impression?
Nobody's saying he is. He's ringing the bell. He's not moving Doc off the bench.
He's going to point at Tobias and try and tell him where to stand on the court.
Yeah, no respect. You got to have a chat, you and I. 610-632-0975. Did philosophical that make sense to you? If the guy suffers, the guy should ring a bell. 610-632-0975. Join us. It's that guy, Feigl.
Yeah, I don't know.
Feige. That was Feige. Feigl's the defensive coordinator. let's talk about Corvallese, and some good playoff food is the tomato pie. Let me tell you, Sunday's first game, can't go wrong with a little tomato pie on a playoff day. You can eat it three ways, right? Fresh out of the oven, bring it home in the big box. The Corvallese tomato pie, or it goes in the fridge, take it out anytime you want it. Room temp, you just leave it out on the counter, on the top of the oven. It's beautiful. It's the Corvallese tomato pie. And since 1924, the Corvallese family has dedicated their entire lives to serve the highest quality tomato pies. I mean, they got four locations for your convenience. Norristown, Limerick, Audubon, and Douglasville. Take the challenge. See if you have one, you're going to go back. Corvallese Bakery and Deli. If you have an event coming up, your guests will be raving about how good the food was. They got great desserts as well. They got strombolis, you name it. When it comes to great tomato pie, though, you got to check out Corvallese Bakery and Deli. My go-to guide, see more at CorvallesBakery.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.